Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. I would like for you guys to warmly and purposefully welcome our friends and the apostles of the house, Apostle Mark and Vanessa Williams. Amazing people of God. Love you back. And I'm going to get out of their way.
And up here to say hello with me. So won't you greet the folks? Amen. God bless you. Praise God. This is an awesome church. I put together a series of messages that I will be sharing in just a few days in Hong Kong. And the first of those messages I'm going to share with you on tonight, the series is called The Dynamic Church. The dynamic church. And of course, dynamic has to do with explosives and power and that kind of thing. And I just want to say how much I appreciate Pastor and Mrs. Castle, how much I appreciate you all for leading a dynamic church, a life-giving church. And so I want to say that I'm in the right place tonight to minister the right message to the right people. Would you say it? Praise God, we're a dynamic church.
We're a dynamic church.
Amen. Praise God. So tonight I want to share a word with you. It's entitled Return, Restore, and Rebuild. I don't know if I talked about this at all the last time when I came and spoke. I believe it was in February, actually, when we were at Beloved. I don't know if I spoke about this message that God gave me in 2013, November of 2013. The Lord dropped these three words into my spirit: return, restore, and rebuild. And I knew intuitively that each of those words correspond with or go with a year. 2014, we began to really labor on that word return. And the Spirit of God was showing us areas in which we had kind of detoured and gotten off point, and that we needed to return in a number of areas in our Christian lives and in our church. Then this year, 2015, we focused on the word restore. And it's just been awesome, the things that God has restored in our lives personally, as well as in our church, as well as in the body of Christ at large. We're seeing awesome things that God is doing to restore. But folks, 2016 will emphasize the word rebuild. Thank God for that word, because it gives us a blank page to start to rebuild above ground, praise God, some awesome things that God has put on our hearts, some of which we thought it was all over. Those were things that wouldn't happen. But thank God for another chance. Thank God. And so we'll get the opportunity to talk about some of those things at the end of the message. Praise God. Mark Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. Begin reading there. Mark, chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. And I'm reading from the King James Version.
Amen.
Y'all like the King James?
Yes, we do. All of them.
Amen. I explain it as I'm going along, you know, so. Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey except a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. But be shod or shoed with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever you enter into an house, there abide till you depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Now, here this word repent actually is the same as the word return. Repent. Is the same as the word. We look at repentance oftentimes in modern vernacular as a harsh word, or even a mean word, a hard word, but it actually means to return. Or the word, the root word is pent, P-E-N-T, which is the top or uppermost point. To repent is to get back up there. So it's a good word. It's a very, very good word, and so. Here, Jesus, in the beginning of his ministry, empowered these 12, sent them out two by two, sent them forth with a ministry to cause people to return back to a place of covenant, back to a place of intimacy with God that Israel once had with the Lord. And Jesus is calling them back. John the Baptist in his ministry did the same thing. And so it's a place of returning back to the Lord. Now, these are Jews under the old covenant. Now, let's look at Revelation. Because not only are Jews called back to return to a place of where they once had with God, but I believe that God is even calling the church back to a place of intimacy with Him, a place of covenant, a place of blessing. Believers are commanded by the Lord Jesus here in these verses that we'll look at tonight to repent or to return. Revelation chapter 2. We'll begin with verse 5. This is speaking to the church of Ephesus, where we get that wonderful letter, Ephesians. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Now remember, he's talking to the church of Ephesus, one of the most mature churches. He says, remember from where you are fallen and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly and will remove your candlestick out of his place, except you repent, except you return, except you get back to that place where you once were. Verse 6. But this thou hast, or this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. I heard one guy a number of years ago give a definition to what Nicolaitans was. Have you ever wondered what Nicolaitans is? Have you? Well, the definition he gave is Nico, N-I-C-O, which is over. And notice that the second part of that, laitans, where we get the modern word laity. Here he's saying that there was a group of people who inserted themselves over the rest of the people in the body. And Jesus says, that doctrine I hate. That doctrine I hate. How many of you know I don't have a greater salvation than you have? How many of you really know that? You can respond. There's no big I's and little U's. Amen? There is greater responsibility, greater workload that he gives to some of us in the body of Christ. Yet there is no greater salvation, no greater place, no lording it over the body of Christ. We lovingly serve one another. And so Jesus, if that's a good definition, that would be something that he would hate, this idea of somebody being Lord over God's people. Master over God's people. To take an apostle, a title like apostle, and make that to be a billy club over God's people. That's ungodly. Amen. We're to serve one another with the gifts he's given. And so he says, this I hate, the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And Jesus said, I hate that also. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Then the church of Pergamos in verses 14 through 17. But I have a few things against thee, against you, he says, because you have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols. And Balaam also taught Balak to hinder the children of Israel to commit fornication or sexual immorality. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. In other words, here again, the same thing is arisen again within the church. The superiority of one group over another. He says, repent or else I will come unto you quickly and fight against you. How many of you like Jesus to say that to you and to your church? He said, repent or else I will come to you quickly and fight against you with the sword of my mouth. So they had options, either to line up with Jesus' will and way, or this fight of Jesus against them with the sword or the word of his mouth. Verse 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows except he that receives it. Then the church of Sardis, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And the angel of the church in Sardis, unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, or the seven manifold or perfect manifestation of the Spirit of God, and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you live. He's saying to this church, to the leader of this church, I know you have a name, that you live, but you are dead. Boy, I'd hate to have Jesus to say that to my church. But how many of you know he won't lie? If that's the condition of my church, it will be a blessing for him to tell me. Amen? Amen? Verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. For if therefore you shall not watch, I will come on you as a thief, and you will not know the hour that I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that has an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Then one more church, here, the church of Laodicea. Revelation 3:14 through, I believe, 16. It says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. How many of you know that's Jesus? the faithful and the true witness. Do you know that's Jesus? And the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works. In other words, I know what you're doing. I see your activities. That you are neither cold nor hot. I would you were either cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Now, do you know if someone's not cold or hot, but simply lukewarm, isn't that what we call cool? Isn't it amazing how much effort and money and energy the church in our day to day is putting into trying to be cool? Trying to be acceptable, smooth, just palatable for the whole world. And yet Jesus says that if you're lukewarm, if you're cool, then that's not palatable to me. That's not okay with me. He said, I want you either hot or cold, on fire or not in at all. I want to be on fire. I don't know about you folks. Here he says, because you say with your cool self, excuse me, he didn't say that. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He says, you think you're one way, but I see you another way. I counsel you to buy of me, Jesus says, gold tried in the fire that you may be rich. And white raiment that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness does not appear. Anoint your eyes with eye salve that you really may see. Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke or correct and chasten or chastise. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. In other words, be quick to make a course change. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, I have often in times past in my Christian life used this verse for evangelism. When I want to really bring it home and make an ask for somebody to come to Jesus, back in the day, I would use this verse. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to be saved. It's time to receive him. You know, I just get in my evangelistic fervor and everything. And I'm really reeling them that fish in for them to receive Jesus. And yet, Jesus here is not speaking to the world. He's speaking to the church of Laodicea. He's talking to his beloved people. He's saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, that is fellowship with him, and he with me. Question is, how is it that Jesus finds himself outside of the door of the heart of a church? And he's outside knocking. It's because this church got caught up into many different things instead of the main thing, the one thing. Really following after the Lord like we were singing about tonight. Like we were worshiping God, saying, Lord, you're the main thing. I mean, you're it. I don't think he has to knock on the door of beloved church. He's in the room. Amen. But here we find that in our age and in our time, many are believers in Christ. They're genuinely believers in Christ. They're genuinely the church. And Jesus, in great love, is wooing them back through his word and saying, make a course change. Now, I'm a good person. And I fully intended on being here tonight, but if I decided that I would get on 20 and go east, have decided that this evening, instead of come west, even though I'm a good person, even though I had good intentions of coming to Pearl City, how many of you know if I kept going in that direction, I wouldn't be here tonight? And as if I were going along there, and I see maybe it was about, let's say, 4:30 in the afternoon, I'm driving that way, and I'm thinking I'm going to get here. I keep going in that direction. And this little lady says, "Mark, I think you're going the wrong way." And I say, "No, I know where I'm going. I'm going the right way. My mind is set, and I'm going, even though I'm a good guy, fully intend on being here. It's my heart intention to come and be here, but I'm going the wrong way. And I'm not one to hear her tell me that I'm going the wrong way."
Amen.
See? I'm thinking she's just, you know, using this kind of nagging or something like that, you know, just always talking about my driving, you know. I don't want to hear it. But how many of you know eventually I'm going to come to recognize myself? I'm going the wrong way. Now, if I just say I'm sorry and keep going the wrong way, I just acknowledge it in my mind, I'm wrong, but I keep going the wrong way, guess what? I wouldn't make it to Beloved Church in Pearl City on time. In order to really, really make that course change, I not only have to change my mind and acknowledge that Vanessa was right. Now, this didn't really happen tonight. Just using it for an illustration. But if I don't acknowledge that and then turn the car around and head west and go in the right direction, then I have not really genuinely repented. And I have not really genuinely returned to the right course I'm supposed to go in. Likewise, in our lives as believers, we need to recognize areas in which the Holy Spirit is correcting us, the Word is correcting us. He uses our pastor to correct us. Sometimes we end up treating our pastor like I was saying I would treat my wife if she's telling me you're going the wrong way, or, you know, you're supposed to turn right instead of left and slow down and all of that stuff. I don't want to hear that. Sometimes, as believers in Christ, we don't want to even hear that from our pastors. We don't want to hear that from other people teaching us. And it causes us to dig our heels in instead of make the course correction that we need to make. I want to say this to you, that Holy Spirit is speaking often through your pastor. Holy Spirit is speaking often through other believers in the body of believers here at Beloved to speak one to another to help us make course correction. Because what is happening is God is wanting us to come into His absolute best for the time in which we are in life. That we are in the most amazing time right now in the body of Christ ever.
Amen. Amen.
And we need to make course corrections or return. Let's very quickly go to the second word, restore. Restore. Because after we've repented, even as believers, we must believe that we receive restoration and fellowship with God. For instance, if I am going the wrong way and I miss God and I sin in some way, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 is a very famous scripture. I've used it a lot in my Christian life. And it says, if we confess our sins, the Apostle John put himself in there. If we confess our sins, then He's faithful. Jesus is faithful and righteous. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. He's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So after I've confessed whatever that was where I've genuinely missed God, ask Him to forgive me. He's faithful to do it, faithful to forgive me. Excuse me, dependable to forgive me. And not only forgive me, but cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Not only where I've missed it, but also any other area that I wasn't even aware of. If he cleanses me from all unrighteousness, all means all. And so if I stand before God with all unrighteousness cleansed from my life, then that makes me be in a position of righteousness or right standing with God. And you can't get any more righteous with God than his very own righteousness.
Amen.
So the moment I confess that, I believe that I receive my forgiveness.
Amen.
And I believe that I receive righteousness restored. Now, you have a battle with your flesh with that, don't you? Because it's hard for you and I to forgive ourselves. But who are we to not forgive ourselves if he's forgiven us?
Amen.
Amen. So after having been forgiven, after having been having repented, then we need to also then have a restoration in our soul. Our minds, wills, and emotions, because that's where the battle is at. And we need a restoring there. In Psalm 23, David talked about being beside still waters and quiet streams and him restoring his soul. I thank God for restoration. Psalm 51, verses 10 through 13, David, had committed a terrible sin, and he cried out to God, and this is his prayer. Psalm 51, 10 through 13. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with your free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted to thee. I believe this, that the person who is restored in God and is walking upright with God, walking in fellowship with God and his people, can genuinely be a magnet to win other people to Jesus. Here he says that after I'm restored, I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to thee. I believe this with all of my heart, that as I share this word on tonight, that Holy Spirit imparts to a dynamic church and a restored people of God a powerful attractiveness to win other people to Jesus everywhere you go. I'm not talking about just the outreaches that you do as a church, but I'm talking about wherever you go, whether it's work, school, or play, that Holy Spirit manifests his power in you as a restored and dynamic church to win other people to Jesus. I heard somebody say earlier that we were only about 12 people some months ago or some time ago. Well, there's a 24-month period or however long that's been. But that's not how we are right now. Other people began to be drawn to the witness of the life of this church. I'm believing God right now as I speak that there will be a multiplication of people drawn to Jesus as a result of this word tonight. I'm believing God for that. Will you agree with me?
Yes.
Amen. Let that come on you and marinate in your life. Amen. So there's salvation for the unbeliever. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved, or sozo, shall be saved, delivered. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Scripture says, whoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call on him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I am so thankful that I am a whosoever. Because I thought that, you know, as bad as I was, I couldn't be saved. But I found out that it was for the whosoever's. Thank God he didn't say, I've saved as many people as I could, and I'm so sorry, Mark, but I ran out. I said, the same God over all is rich unto all who call on him. And I found him to be satisfying when I received him, when I called on him. Over 40 years ago, I called on him. Received him into my heart. I'm in my 41st year walking with Jesus. And I'm a satisfied customer. And I want to tell everybody that whoever calls on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Doesn't make any difference who they are. Whosoever shall call on his name shall be saved. You have that message in your heart. You have that message in your mouth. You have the ministry of reconciliation. You are a restored person. And you can take this message and share it with somebody else. We're coming up on Thanksgiving and Christmas time. I was born again at Christmas. I was born again at Christmas time. Like we used to call it back in the day, Christmas break from school. I was born again at Christmas time. They were talking about Jesus, you know, Santa and all that other stuff. But I was hearing about this baby Jesus and hearing, you know, that was coming through that particular Christmas to me. Holy Spirit was getting a hold of my heart. And I received Jesus. I said it like this. I said, God, if this Jesus I read about in the New Testament is really real, then I want him. That was my sinner's prayer. It was not theologically correct. It was not according, you know, like the prayers on the tracts. It was not like the prayers, you know, on the written, printed tracts that people would hand out. It was not the same prayer that Ben Kinchlow and 700 Club prayed, you know, and I was about to tear up the TV to get out of it, or Billy Graham. It was not a prayer like that, but it was from my heart. I said, if this Jesus of the Bible is real, I want him. And the Holy Spirit took me up on that. I was gloriously born again. Gloriously born again. Then I called my girlfriend. It wasn't Vanessa. I was led to do exactly what the scripture says. Confess with my mouth Jesus as Lord. I called my girlfriend and said, hey, something just happened to me. She wanted to know, okay, what was it? I said, I just received Jesus. And she started crying. She was a church girl. But she started crying. She said, we're not going to have no fun no more. She knew that if I really received Jesus, and if I really got saved, then we couldn't do what we had been doing. That's what she was calling fun. We couldn't do it. Because if you're going to be saved, you can't really do that. She had sense enough to know that if Jesus came into my life, then I was going to be changed. Amen. And I said, well, I guess not, because I'm saved. And I acted on this word. Without knowing this word, I acted on it. Confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Now, I didn't live perfectly after that, because she kept trying to get me off track. But thank God, as I kept walking with God and began to connect with his people, that I became stronger and stronger as a believer and began to walk free. Amen. In victory in Christ. And this is the life, friends. Amen. Walking with Jesus. Amen. And when I failed and missed it, I got up, made course correction, got right back on track. I call it this. I call it keeping short accounts with God. I would say as a young person, if I'd miss God, I say, Lord, you know, I want you to fix my heart, make it right before I go to church tonight. And when I get to church and the preacher would be preaching, I wouldn't be under conviction. I'd be shouting. He'd say something about, you know, because we'd preach hard back in the day. He'd say something about sinners and so I was like, amen, praise. I just missed it on that thing. But I got it right with God, keeping short accounts with Him. All right, praise God. I want to get to this last word, and then I want you all to be praying for me. I'm going to pray for you, but I want you to pray for me as well. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4. This is the word rebuild. Now, often we focus on these first two verses, and then we stop. But I want to read verses 3 and 4 as well. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Now we know here in these two verses that this is speaking directly about the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. We know also that because we are His body, that same anointing that was on the head is also on the body. So those things which Jesus done in His earthly ministry, we also can do because we are in Christ. Amen? And so we have scriptures in the Great Commission, particularly in Mark's Gospel, which says, "These signs shall accompany them that believe in my name." And it talks about those wonderful signs, speaking in tongues and taking authority over the devil, laying hands on the sick and them recovering. All of those things that are in the ministry of Jesus, He then said to the church, "You do the same thing." He said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. We're at the end of the age. He's still with us. We can still do the same things. Amen. And it's because of the anointing. It's because of the Holy Spirit, not because of our own power or ability. Often we stop right here. Verse 3. He says, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give to them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. And they shall build." Boy, those words were burned into my spirit a few weeks ago. "They shall build," because the Holy Spirit had given me this word, return, restore, and rebuild. "They shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair waste cities," plural. This is a marvelous statement, this last phrase. The desolations of many generations. In other words, these waste cities, in which it took generations to get messed up, not just a couple years, but decades to get messed up. He says these anointed people will rebuild them. Gives me hope for the cities that we live in. Not just have a good church, not just have a wonderful church in the midst of the mess, an oasis that we can come to and praise and worship God. That's great. Worship God, and we have an oasis, a cocoon, if you will, where God incubates us and ministers to us and gives us a shot so that we can go back out into the world and be a witness for Him. But He's saying that He's going to, with anointed people, the body of Christ, actually rebuild old, wasted cities. And the Lord said to me that 2016 is the year for rebuilding. So there's got to be some supernatural things that happens in the midst of His people. Like Dennis talked about earlier, where God accelerates blessing in our lives, that he actually shows up and manifests things, and we look at it and say, how in the world did that happen? It's a sign and a wonder. Makes you wonder. How did that happen? How did God do that? How did it just, the math just doesn't even work for me. I added and he multiplied. How did that happen? I believe that God has to do those kinds of things in miraculous ways in order for us to participate in this scripture tonight.
Amen.
To rebuild. I say to our folks sometimes that God may have to make somebody a millionaire or a billionaire to fulfill some promises that he's spoken to our lives. I am a volunteer. I'm a volunteer. Lord, you can trust me. You can trust me. I'm a person who's returned. I'm a person who's restored. I'm a person whom you can trust. I'll obey your voice. The Spirit of God speaks to me then to give $1 million. I'll do it because I'm obedient to give the 20. I'm obedient to give the 30 or the 100 or the 1,000. I'm obedient to obey his voice, and so he can trust me. Because if he can trust me with little, he can trust me with much. And God, by his Spirit, has been training you with the little. Because he's getting ready to bring you into the much. Into great things. He has to accelerate it, Pastor Steve. He has to begin to manifest greater, stronger blessings in beloved church.
Amen.
Because of the word he's spoken to your heart. It's got to come to pass. Thank God you and I don't have to figure it out. But just on the horizon, there's huge blessings. It's just on the horizon. And if we just keep on marching straight ahead, it'll come into manifestation. And then we'll look back and say, wow, this is what the Holy Ghost was talking about. And we enter into that and we're faithful with that. And greater increase comes. The thing about it is that it'll translate. Greater wealth and all of that will translate into more people coming to Jesus in our hands. Because whatever's in you will be magnified by money. I mean, if somebody is a dog, it'll be magnified with money. What they couldn't do at the hole in the wall, they'll be able to do on the yacht, you know, because it is magnified with money. What if this man of God, and this woman of God, you don't want to leave her out now. What if all of a sudden they were increased in some material and financial way? What's in their hearts would be magnified. What God's put on their heart to do, and it's in dream form right now, they'd be able to pull it off. They'd be able to implement it. It wouldn't be we got to believe that we received that and we're going to stand for 3 years to get that. What if it manifests? What if the heart's desire was manifest and they were able to step into it and pull it off? It would look, you talking about people getting saved. You talking about churches being multiplied. You talk about all whatever's on their hearts to do, it will be jumping off. Because God manifested that in their lives. I'm believing God, not only that he makes you a soul-winning magnet as a church, but that the things that you're believing God for the building of the next step, the next mountain, whatever it is that you're going to take for God, that you have the wherewithal to do it, not just believing for it, but it comes into manifestation.
Amen.
Amen. And just let me be a fly on the wall. Praise God. I want to watch this. Because you talk. Have you ever seen a fool get some money and you know what's going to happen? And you just want to I'm going to stand back. But I'm going to watch this and see. You ever been there? And then you know what happens after a while. They don't have it anymore. And life is worse. But I believe that for the righteous, the people of God, that God will bless you to actually be the conduit through which God ends up blessing this man and woman of God and causing the vision that's in their heart to come to pass. Let me share this with you, and then when we get ready to pray. God has given one visionary to this house, and that's your pastor. The gift that he brings over and over again to you is vision. And in return, the gift that Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to give back in return to the visionary is your service. You get to do the work of the ministry. Got one amen, praise God. You get to do the work of the ministry. He casts the vision, you get to do the work of the ministry. Think about it. What if you were, now if you're a boy, this will work for you. If you're a girl, not so much. What if you were the little boy who brought the lunch that Jesus took and he broke and he blessed it, and he broke it and he gave it and fed thousands of people? What if you were that little boy? That was a real little boy. That was a real fish sandwich. Bread and loaves, that's a joke, you can laugh. It was real food, his lunch. And he gave it to Jesus. Gave it to the visionary, and that miracle happened in his hands. What if you are the person that God uses to be the catalyst to actually be just that last bit that's needed to cause this man's vision to explode? What if you could be that person that brings in whatever is needed to cause it to be set in motion, not just a vision, not just a plan, but now it's being implemented? Would you do it?
Yes.
See, I'm a volunteer. I'm a volunteer in the day of God's power. I'm a volunteer. I say yes. Lord, you want to build? How high?
Amen.
Yes. How broad? How deep? Yes, I'm a volunteer. Do we have any other volunteers in the house? Amen. Would you stand with me? I'm trusting, Pastor, I want to pray for the saints and pray for believers. And I'm trusting that everybody in the house is born again. I never want to assume that.
We usually give a call at the end. So
okay.
If anybody's not, then they can have that opportunity.
All right. I want to invite you to be a volunteer in the day of God's power. I believe that God anoints volunteers.
Amen.
I believe that he surprises volunteers with power.
Amen.
Remember Peter? Peter, he's minding his business, cleaning his nets. And Jesus asked him, can I use your boat just to, you know, as a pulpit, I want to just scoot it out from the shore a little bit and preach. He let him do it. Then he says, Peter, hey, let's go out into the deep. Let down your nets Notice he said plural. Nets. Let down your nets. We're going to catch a lot of fish. He humored Jesus because he's a fisherman. He said, hey, you don't catch fish in the daytime. You catch it at night. I'm cleaning my best nets, and I'm not putting them out there because this preacher said put them out there. So he got that old raggedy net. This is sometimes what volunteers do. He got the old raggedy net. He got that, and they went out, and Jesus said, put it down right here. He surprises volunteers, Pastor. He said, put it down right here. And he dropped that net in there. Bam! It was full of fish. Now Peter's, he's livid. He never seen this before in his life. He's hollering for his partners to come, bring the good nets. Bring all the boats. All the partners. Come on, let's get these fish. And then they're working, getting these fish, filling the boats up, and now the boats are sinking because they're so full. Jesus wants to surprise volunteers with power. Even when we start out just a little half-heartedly, just getting our feet wet just a little bit, pastor says, let's get engaged and do this, and we'll try it. God is going to surprise you with power in your life. Are you a volunteer?
Amen.
All right. Let's reach out to him tonight, and I'm believing God for a deluge.
Amen.
Of power. Ability for two things, soul winning and also the materials and things that God's put in your life that is, as pastor leads and he gathers you together with whatever mountain it is that you're going to take for God in 2016, that you so do it with such efficiency and power that when I come back some point in 2016, I'm going to say, man, I knew it was going to happen, but I didn't know it was going to happen like that.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to that. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we receive from you now the blessing of God. We receive from you now as we volunteer, as we make course adjustments in our lives, as we return in our mindset and in our steps and in our lifestyles, as we return, and as you restore things in our lives, we also receive the power and the building blocks that's needed to cause this vision of Beloved Church to be fulfilled. I pray in the name of Jesus for this pastor and first lady that you would bless them and empower them and strengthen their hands tonight. I thank you and praise you, dear Father, that you cause them to have mighty power to press through whatever barriers that need to be pressed through, that they not just maintain, but that they build strong for the glory of God. And we give you thanks for it. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Blessings to you, Pastor. I am excited about your future.